Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to make that big decision. Yeah. I want to win championships. I want to win bowl games. What else is a better place to do it than your city?
The power of home represents something. The DMV, like, you try to explain it to people that aren't from there, and it's hard to explain it.
That thing we talk about, Maryland pride, is real. And the way we're going to play with Maryland pride.
He's going to go! Touchdown, Maryland!
The Terrapins have one last shot at winning this game. 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second, throws it up.
Money!
And he got it! And the Terrapins win at the buzzer! Oh,
Stevie Francis, showtime.
Oh, Neil, what a play by Pius. Holy cow.
Maryland hits the road to beat Penn State.
Maryland pulls off the upset.
They have defeated number one, and the celebration is on.
And the kids have done it. Maryland wins their first ever national championship. Holding up Indiana 64-52, and let's listen and look at the celebration.
Be not afraid of greatness. Some are born great, some achieve greatness, and others host college sports and recruiting podcasts.
You're listening to IMS Radio at InsideMarylandSports.com. Your hosts, Jeff Ehrman, Paul Douglas, and Larry France.
Week three upon us. Week three, can you believe it? We're in the thick of the season now.
I didn't think I was going to survive week two, frankly. But here we are.
About 4 minutes into the game when it was 14-0.
Man, that was not optimal.
No,
it was really not optimal.
I'll say this: that happened, and that was unfortunate. But they completely dominated the rest of the game and figured it out. And I'm not that worried about it. It's kind of fluky, right?
Yeah, I think fluky is the exact word I was about to use.
It was definitely the type of game where, like, you experience it and you're kind of violent, and then, like, you go and you watch it a couple, you know, the next day or a couple days later, and you're like, okay, it's fine. And it was fine. I mean, I think it was pretty much the way we would have expected that game to come out under any other circumstances other than giving up a blown coverage and a ridiculous pick six, literally back-to-back at the beginning of the game.
I will say, to Leah – It is a little worrisome, yes.
You've got to get it together.
Decision-making, right?
Are we just going to go into takes? Because I got a take.
Before that, we already got a comment about Jeff's glasses in the chat room. So
looks good, doesn't he?
These glasses are so nerdy. I haven't bought a new pair in years. And each time, like, my eyes get irritated from my contact lenses, I got to throw these things on. I'm going to get new glasses tomorrow. What did they say? What did they say, how sexy they are?
They said old man shades.
Totally, yeah. I can't even argue with that.
I understand completely because I have the same thing where every once in a while I'm like, I got the contacts are not working today. I got to wear the glasses. So,
yeah.
I have the same thing.
I couldn't put contacts into my life dependent on it, man. I am not touching my eyeballs. Like, not doing it.
We got Wes Brown in the chat.
Nice.
We should let him, we should have him on.
We should. Oh,
Wes.
Man, we should.
Hey, Wes.
I've been meaning to get Wes
on. You're watching right now.
Forever.
Jeff, email him the link. Let's get him in. Just come on.
Let's do it. Ask him if he's available.
Let's do it spontaneous, Wes. You're available. You are available. What is his official title?
He's so a football beat writer.
Football beat writer for Inside Maryland.
And not just football. He covers, I shouldn't just limit it to that. He covers other stuff too. He's a do-it-all, jack-of-all-trades guy for us. He's been doing a great job for a while now. So.
Former Maryland running back, Wes Brown, on the show. Okay. We can do that.
Same guy, yes.
Did you send him the link?
Did he say he's in?
Yeah, he's in.
Okay, sweet. Yeah, I've been meaning to have Wes on here forever. So that's a good catch, Larry. 1 second. You guys can talk amongst yourselves.
Jay Molnar says, I thought they caught a break when the German kid from Michigan got hurt. Glaze rolled his backup. Okay.
I don't know what that means, but
say it again.
The German kid from Michigan, all I can think of is Wagner, the basketball player. But was their defensive end a German guy or something and he got hurt?
He's talking about Iabi Oak. He's talking about the Charlotte game?
Iabi Anoma is not German, no.
No, he's not, but I assume that's what he must be talking about, right?
I have no fucking idea what's going on right now.
Maybe they had a German defensive end that we're not.
I don't know either.
Is that the guy from the GIF?
I have no idea.
Have you guys seen the GIF of them dragging that guy off the
field? Yes, it's hilarious. Yes. I think it was Iabi, wasn't it?
That must be who he's thinking of. I don't know where the German part comes from. But Michigan, yeah, it's got to be him.
Jay Molnar is going off on tangents in the chat room. We're going to ignore that for the rest, because I don't think they had a German defensive end on the team. Did
Classic
they?
Jay Molnar.
I remember when they were recruiting Iabi Anoma. And it was such a big deal, and it was the 5-star defensive end that everybody always wants. And it came down to Maryland and like Bama and somebody else, and he went to Bama, right? But I remember we went to the basketball game. Jeff got us press passes behind the basket. It was awesome. And Iabi was there with the coaches, and he walked by and I said, "Iabi, you're going to Maryland, right?" And he goes, he just like laughed at me, and I'm like,
yeah, right. He was like a borderline 5-star recruit. I mean, he was,
yeah, he was Alabama, the next guy.
Yeah, he went to, so he was Alabama, and then we talked about this last week, I think. So, whatever.
They're asking, will IMS be at the UVA game? Yes, we'll be there. We're not doing a show.
Yeah.
But I try to split time. If I can, it depends on how much time I have, like when I get there. It's a Friday night, so that's going to be a rough one. I try to get down to Paul's tailgate, which is in lot 9. Paul's there for hours. You guys can go up and say hi to him. I try to split time between Paul, and then I go to the Old Line tailgate. I know a lot of people up there, Ben and our boy William, who's been nominated to set up the tailgate for the bowl game tailgates for life now, is there, and various other people. A lot of people come out and say hi, and they like the show, and that's always very much appreciated. But yes, we're going to be there.
You know, Larry, how I know when Paul has begun his tailgating, because I see on Facebook, Paul Douglas wrote, "College Park, I am in you."
Yes, he does say that.
It's a factual statement.
Tradition for many years, and I still chuckle at it. After all these years, I still chuckle at it.
Just the, you know,
how juvenile I am.
First game of the year, man. You gotta make sure people understand the deal.
Gary Simpson says one beer on the house in Lot Z. I'll try to do that, but I'm trying to remember where Lot Z is.
That's in between my tailgate and where Ben's people are. So if you make the walk,
I can stop at Lot Z.
It's literally on the way.
Gary, I'm going to have to know like what you look like and all that, because there's a lot of people there, right? I can't just walk up to random people and say, hey,
everybody.
You promised me a beer.
Well, Gary will notice the crowd forming around Larry France as he's walking through the parking lot.
Asking for autographs.
Groupies, yeah.
Just hanger-ons.
I mean, people do come up and say hi every week I'm there, so that's cool. There's Wes.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, guys, oh, look at Wes Brown.
He's got like a nice little fancy little setup there, too. I think my kid's got that one for his like Minecraft gaming.
Oh, he's got the gamer headset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's balling.
That's the same one my kid has. What are you playing on that?
I'll mostly do like CSGO and FIFA, Madden, whatnot.
FIFA and Madden.
I got to set up a grudge match between you and my son. He plays Madden constantly. Like, he plays in these leagues where you're playing like with random, like the best players from all across the country. It's all serious and stuff. I have no idea how you get into it. I'm sure you know about those, but.
Yo, let me give you a pro tip. do not, and I repeat, do not get on like a gaming setup where you can let like a 10-year-old shit talk you while they're kicking your ass in Call of Duty or FIFA or whatever it happens.
I thought that was part of the experience.
No, you do not.
Don't let it happen.
You do not want to be doing that.
I don't play, so I just thought that was part of it. Like all the kids like trash talk to you.
I'm semi-competitive with my son at 2K. He's 15. I win probably 10% of the time. Madden, forget it. I don't even play. I won't even. There's no reason. I'll lose by 50 every time.
The last time I played Call of Duty, I said some things to like a 12-year-old that I kind of regret a little. So we had to like step back and kind of reevaluate our, our life choices. So I don't do that anymore. But kids love it, so good for them.
Wes, what is your reaction to the game from Saturday? Anything to take from it at all?
Yeah, so kind of like I mentioned there, I think Loxley kind of said it as well. It's one of those things where it might have been good that they got in that situation. Obviously, you don't want to be down 14-0, but later in the season, maybe a couple weeks, who knows, maybe Friday, if you get stuck in a situation like that again, it gives them, the opportunity to say, we've done this before, we've gotten out of a hole. Being able to do it again, Charlotte can build some of that momentum into other games. And obviously, like you said, they climbed out of the hole, 38 unanswered until the very end there. So not necessarily as much to worry about as maybe it looks to anyone who turned the game on and then turned it right off.
You worried about Talia at all? The decision making, that was not good.
It's just kind of who he is at this point.
But they're going to be playing teams that provide more pressure with that.
It's just kind of who he is at this point. He's going to get into those phases where he kind of just locks into receivers, like when he threw the interception there in the end zone. In the third quarter, even though he was hitting his stride, he'll go up and down. He'll have those moments. But in the grand scheme of things, when you look at it, it was one blown coverage and then one bad pass on the next play. So take away those two plays, and then it's a completely different ball game.
But you can't take away the plays because that's part.
I was going to say that's kind of my take here. I think we just need to. I think with college, it's different than pro. Part of the thing that makes it awesome is you expect improvement from players every year, just about, right? Every year, kids typically get a little bit better. I think Lee is a finished product. I think he just is who he is, and we cannot start planning this season around him turning into like an elite college football player. Like, he's a very good college football player. He's a very good college quarterback, but he's not going to be any better than this. He's going to maybe lose us a game. He might not show up in those games where we really need him to overtake a more talented team. So if you look at, we'll do the percentages for the rest of the season later, but just thinking about how the season's going to go, if part of your calculation is that Leah is going to be good enough to win us games individually any more so than he has the last couple years, I'm not sure I would think that way at this point. I think he just kind of is what he is, and he's not going to get any better than this. So if there's one takeaway from the Charlotte game for me, that's my big one. He just is who he is, and you got to take the good with that. And there's a lot of good that comes with it, but there's going to be a lot of bad that comes with it too. So.
Wes, what about the offensive line? What do you think? Is it as worrisome as we thought it was, which obviously seems to be? Got better in the second half, especially on the left side against Charlotte. And is Gottlieb, I'd say, going to be back this week at tackle? Is there any word on that yet?
I believe Loxley said that he'll be back on Friday, or at least hopes he'll be able to play. Kind of like you mentioned, the left side's actually turned out to be, really, really, really good. It is that right side with Fagan there at right tackle. But obviously it's not as good as last year, but I think a lot of people sort of understand that last year was almost an elite offensive line by Maryland standards. So definitely going to have to expect this step back. But I feel like it's just going to continue to get better. Obviously once they get the rotations down, they're not going to be rotating as much as they are right now. Once we hit, Big Ten play. We'll start to see that hierarchy sort of figure itself out.
Any surprises so far for you? To me, I was asked this question earlier. I couldn't really think of any you know, Jack Howes has been good. I guess that's something. But anything that's caught you off guard or impressed you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like you said, the kicking game. I'd also kind of say maybe the wide receivers, you kind of expected them to do well. But obviously, when you have Ty Felton, you know, drop that pass in week one, you kind of, you know, see, like a lot of people, you know, kind of roll your eyes and say, here we go. But, you know, they've stepped up. You know, Prather's turned out to be, you know, the guy who you thought he could be. I mean, he's got some time left, and they obviously have a lot of talent there. I think I saw Tyrese Chambers is expected to come back this week as well. So,
what's his deal?
Really, I believe he just got dinged up in the first game and missed the second game. But seems to be okay for this one.
You think about the way they handle, sorry, Les, that's the thing about the way they handle injuries. You never know. People be like, what's it? You don't know who's, what the injury is, when they're coming back. It's just it's a total mystery. Very unusual.
It sucks, man. It really sucks.
Like, you never know. Like, people ask me, and sometimes I have some info from behind the scenes, but in terms of publicly released, you don't know half the time if a guy's might be out for the season. It's just, you just notice he's not playing. But anyways, that's a tangent for another day.
Wes, you think that Locksley and company are playing things close to the vest? They know they're more talented and bigger, stronger, faster than the first two opponents, so they've played very vanilla games so far, and that things might change maybe even this week, even though UVA is not very good either, but they're going to start implementing more stuff and getting more exotic and all of those kind of things.
Certainly. Yeah. I mean, I feel like anytime you look at the schedule for a season and you have, you know, an FCS Towson and then a group of five opponent, then a power five opponent, then Big Ten play, you're kind of going to expect it to be a bit vanilla. Obviously a team like Charlotte, who's a little sneaky there, having a lot of power five players at a group of five program, they can, you know, shock, but, you know, provide some shock value. But obviously the Terps were able to get through that one, but definitely with the power five team coming up in Virginia, you know,
they're not playing like a power five team.
Yeah. It's not necessarily the Virginia you'd come to know. And obviously it's not the same rivalry, kind of like Loxley was saying yesterday, but definitely a step up in the competition level. So,
sure, you sure it's a step up? Like, I don't know. I don't even know that it's a step up over Charlotte.
No, it's a step up.
It's mostly from the depth standpoint. Obviously, Charlotte has a lot of probably better athletes than UVA on the top end. But when you get down in the depth areas, you know, UVA is going to have a little bit more depth to keep up with their level at least.
And Larry, as bad as Virginia is right now, they're still recruiting a different level of player than Charlotte is for the most part. They're still recruiting against power five, you know, a lot of power five. They're not getting elite kids, but they're still recruiting in that same pool. So it's a higher level, even with Charlotte's.
They lost to JMU.
I don't think JMU is quite the walkover. I mean, you know, they, like I said, they bumped up a little bit. I think they're pretty decent tests. So, like, I'm not trying to, like, Dean Smith UVA or anything, like, but they're not garbage. They're, like, whatever the level is, just above garbage. So, like, it's a team that you
refuse.
Know, again, well, yeah, what's the line? 14, right? You know, you're feeling pretty good about that kind of game. And at home on a Friday night, that's a situation where you expect your team to go out there and whoop that ass. Now, we have not had a lot of very good night game experiences at home in quite some time. So if anything, I was saying to a buddy of mine during the game last week, once, you know, we kind of figure ourselves out a little bit, you know, it actually makes me feel a little bit better about the Virginia game, having gone through that Charlotte mess in the first 4 minutes, you know, than I would have otherwise, because that felt like the trap game to me. Whereas Charlotte decided to go ahead and make themselves the trap game after the fact. And hopefully they'll be a little more on their toes, certainly at the starting gun this time. But I don't know, man. College football is weird. Weird stuff happens. Hopefully they go and they knock them out like they should. But I don't know what to think right now.
Wes, when you go, do you tailgate or you're up in the press box? What are you doing?
Yeah, no, I usually get there about 3 hours before and just head in the press box so I can, you know, set everything up, and then I'll probably go to the Turp Alley usually, and then from there is the availability reports and all that kind of stuff, stacking up from there.
How do you say Gottlieb's last name? You get the sheet, right?
Yeah, I actually don't have it on me, and I don't think I've actually tried to
pronounce it. I think it's Ayidze. Ayidze.
I thought it was Ayidze, but on the broadcast 2 weeks ago, they said like Ayidze or something like that. So I thought I might be pronouncing it wrong the whole time.
The other one we've been saying Tommy Akingbesote, and then on the broadcast they said Akingbesote, Akingbesote. Yeah. They said it different, and I was like, wait a second. We've been saying this for like 2 years now.
It's Tommy.
I know his high school coach really well. His high school coach called him Big Juicy all of his life. So
Big Juicy? Ooh,
I like Big Juicy.
Every time he brings up Big Juicy, it's really funny.
I'm on board with Big Juicy.
That's a great nickname.
Wes, I've been in the press box, and there's the rule about no cheering, but do you cheer? Do you have to, right? What do you do? You kind of go like, yes, yes, like this, or are you like?
He doesn't cheer. He's
come on.
Professionally, doesn't.
He's cheers. He cheers. He cheers.
No chance.
What if Maryland's playing Penn State and it's a tie game? The Penn State's up 4 with 10 seconds to go, and Maryland throws a touchdown to win at the buzzer. Are you going to cheer? Or are you just going to sit there?
No, because
you're cheering.
No, because Patrick Stevens would stare his ass down.
For Maryland, that's the second to last game, right? Maryland is 10-0. They're in first place in the Big Ten. If they beat Penn State, they clinch the Big East, and they win the game at the buzzer to clinch the Big Ten East Division. No cheer.
At that point, it's expected, right? Their first place, they should be Penn State then.
Come on, man.
I'm getting like old, weird journalism school vibes from this.
Larry, cheering in the press box is like going beating up a judge if you're a lawyer. Like going you just can't do it no matter what.
I've been in the press areas multiple times since this show started, and there's cheering. You say
there's
that,
there's one or two guys who.
Yes.
Yeah, I can tell you exactly. People who those know. Two guys are.
Yeah, yeah.
There's always a couple, but I'm usually part of the people looking at those people.
And one of them is not there anymore regularly. Anyway, I will say the closest thing I remember to cheering. It wasn't even cheering. It was just like pure astonishment. Was that game against Ohio State when McFarland ran for like 500 yards? And I think like the third one he took for like 70 yards, everybody's like, holy shit, what is going on here?
That
like,
was crazy. It was crazy outburst, yeah. And yeah, of course, they'll always be attached to the overtime throw by Piggy, right? It was Jay Sean Jones, right? Who was open in the
end zone. He was wide open. Yeah. Come on.
That's a tougher play than it looks like, man. Two guys go.
No, come on, Paul.
I'm convinced I could have made that throw.
Yeah, if you were standing still and you had nobody chasing you.
No, okay, I would have been too slow to get into that position to throw it, but at that stage, if you just zapped me into his body, I think I could have made the throw.
I'm just saying it's like a 60% throw, not a 95%.
I don't think so. Jeff is like the guy who goes out to throw the first pitch at the baseball game, and he stands there, and it goes like 5 feet to the right, and the catcher can't even get it.
That's fake news. Fake news. I used to be a pitcher.
Yeah, well, so did I. That doesn't mean anything.
my knuckleball.
You're going to throw a knuckleball for the opening pitch? That would be sweet.
Although I would definitely throw from the mound. If I got the chance,
yeah,
I'm
that'd
not,
be fun.
I'm not throwing in front. That's for weenies.
They should have for football the first pass. Like people go out and get to throw a pass, like the baseball. You have the first pitch. You know, people come out and
they come
some
up
kind
with something.
Of celebrity or something.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah,
I like that. Yeah, get on that, Wes. You know, people get on that.
Make it happen.
Talk to Damon. You guys are boys, right?
Certainly.
You got any recruiting tidbits for us?
Some kind of like Don said, I talked to Jalen Harvey on Friday. He'll be in attendance on Friday. So definitely USC, Penn State, and Maryland right there. He'll be at the whiteout game for Penn State. at the end of this month.
Forget it. It's over.
He's going to look into making a decision after there. He would have seen, you know, all three game day atmospheres in the season so far. So
is he basing it on game day atmosphere? Because that's a problem.
Not entirely. he's definitely looking for a good family atmosphere, and you know, a lot of the typical things. They'll
money,
say.
NIL. How much is he asking for? How much is he? I'm trying to break your boy, Jeff. I'm trying to get him to crack. How much is he
trying
asking
to get him
for?
To not come back on the show?
Jalen Harvey commits during the game. Will you cheer in the press box? That's what we need to know. I'll be too busy
writing a story on it.
How much is he asking for NIL wise? How much does he want?
Didn't get to that.
You didn't? When he was on his trip, were there any girls involved?
Not that I know of.
Okay, good answer. It'd be bad if you said yes. You said yes, and then we got the program in trouble. That'd be hilarious. Hilarious.
Because yes, never happened.
Be awful, yeah.
Anywhere, ever.
All right, UVA prediction. Wes, which prediction?
I'll probably go a 38-7 Maryland win.
That's big. That's
I had 38-17, so.
Both of those would be acceptable. All right, hey, we're going to do an ad hoc real quick. We're going to do a true or false with you. I'm going to do 5 rapid fire true or false. You have to say true or false. If you want to expound upon it, you can, but you could just say true or false too if you want. Okay, ready? Leah will come back for another season because he's got a COVID year left still. And they're going to pay him. False. Okay. Hemby will come back for one more season.
True.
That's good. Maryland will win at least 8 games this year.
True. I think 8's kind of the line there.
Okay, good. Well, we'll take that. That's a take. Maryland will have a top 25 recruiting class in 2025.
I'd probably say true. There's a lot of high-ranking guys in the class, and you kind of hope that they can take that next step. It'll kind of depend on how they're able to finish this year. But if they're able to finish it strong, I'd like their chances to keep, you know, climbing up the list.
All right, last one. You are the smartest member of the IMS staff.
I'll say true. Probably. For you.
All right.
I was going to say, do I get an answer? Because that's clearly true. I mean, it's a low bar.
Definitely the smartest on the show right now.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thank you for joining us spontaneously. That was a lot of fun. And for people listening, I guess most people listen already going to know who you are, but Wes is the football beat writer, and he covers a lot of stuff. He does amazing articles. Did you write the article today resetting the basketball recruiting board? Was that you? Who was that?
No, that was Colby.
Oh, it was Colby. Okay, yeah.
What's the Twitter handle, Wes?
Yeah,
what's your Twitter?
W_Brown21.
W_Brown21. Wesley Brown. Thank you for joining us.
Yep, thank you, guys.
Thanks, man.
See you, Wes.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
That was good. It was fun.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. I've been so many times. I'm like, I got to get Wes on, and then I flake out as I tend to do. So I'm glad you thought of that.
Leah could come back. I mean, what if he says, I'll come back if you give me $2 million?
He'd be foolish not to do that.
We don't have $2 million in.
I know, but he may not get drafted.
He's not going to get drafted.
He's not getting drafted.
Right.
Again, this is what I'm saying. Like this is not happening. Like, he's a college quarterback, and then he's either maybe going to, I don't know, maybe it
takes CFL
Canada or something. But like, it's
so not why happening. Wouldn't you come back if you're going to get money at Maryland? You could.
Well, I mean, he might. I guess
that's what I'm saying.
Only,
like,
it might be his only option, but we're not paying him $2 million. We don't have $2 million. So if that's what it's going to take,
well, it might not be. Jeff, how much is he getting this year? Oh, hey. Jordan is joining us now. What a show.
Yeah, we just got all types of random stuff going on.
This is the random show.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff, to give everybody the background on Jordan. There he is.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, what's going on? What's your last name again, Jordan? I'm forgetting right now.
Monk, M-O-N-K.
Jordan Monk. We're going to do a feature here that we've done in the past. We haven't done it in a while. Where we have a sort of fan of the week. And generally in the past, it's been associated with winning the bowl competition or the tournament bracket, things like that, where we allow a fan to come on and ask three questions. Any questions that could be directed at any of us individually, to us as a whole. It's entirely up to you. It could be about any topic you want. So go ahead. And do you have three ready to go? Or
yeah, I'm ready.
You go. You lead the way. Go ahead.
All right. Well, the first one's for Jeff, the basketball mind. So, Jeff, when did you know Mark Turgeon wasn't the guy for Maryland?
Ooh, well, that's a good start.
Good question.
Yeah.
Woo.
I would think I mean, I had doubts those first 3 years. Who wouldn't, right? They didn't make the tournament any of those years. First recruiting class flamed out. I think it was the year, and this is a little redundant because I wrote something yesterday about the disappointment of that season, but I think it was 2015, 2016. You know, they had a lot of talent, all that hype coming into the season. The team never was as good as the sum of its parts. And then the year, I think it was the following year where they lost to Northwestern and at home at Verizon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that I think was the real punctuation mark on. I don't think he's going to get it done. That team was decent, underachieved, but then to have that crowd and have that sort of setup all just teed up for you at home, and to lose in the first round to a mediocre at best team, I think that drilled home the conclusion. And I think pretty much every fan. Okay, I don't want to say every, but. A majority of fans, whenever it comes up, what the moment was when they just decided they were out on Turgeon, it was that loss at Verizon.
Yeah, I mean, me personally, it was December 21st, 2013. I mean, Boston University, you know, I think the biggest thing that hit me was I remember him turning around to like Charles Mitchell, Nick Faust on the bench, and they were laughing. And at that moment, I said, I don't think I ever saw Gary laugh. Gary barely smiled when we won the national title. And I said, yeah, this guy's not it. And I'm not trying to do my claim to fame, but my claim to fame is I was on that fire Turgeon bus early and often.
I was one of the last.
That kind of thing. Yeah.
I held out for a very long time. I tried my best to support.
And Larry, I mean, there was a lot of people that held out for a long time because – you know, we're Maryland basketball. We support no matter who coaches. I get that. But we also should – I mean, like you said, I know we hold ourselves to a higher standard, and some people are like, well, what's the standard? You've only had one national title. But it's a DMV. Look at that. I know I'm getting ahead of myself here. But that 2025 class coming in, it's just loaded. Jeff just talked about how loaded it is in one of his latest blogs.
I mean, 24 looked like it was going to be loaded, and that didn't happen. So let's see. Well, I shouldn't say it didn't happen yet, but it looks like it's.
It's about to not happen.
About to not go happen.
On. Some dominoes need to start falling.
Yes.
Hey, Moose off to Maryland, baby. Tomorrow.
Is it happening?
That's not happening.
Come on, Paul. You ain't got to be negative all the time.
Look, man, I'm just telling you. I don't think that's happening.
Doesn't look great.
Question two. Jeff, again, what basketball recruit did you get most fooled by the decision, whether that's he chose Maryland out of nowhere or you thought he was a lot to Maryland and he went elsewhere?
I mean, people will assume I'm going to say Devon Dotson because I got a, you know, I bid on a smokescreen on the last day of that one. So that might be it. And I thought they had a chance, but probably Kelvin Johnson because that, you know, Kelvin Johnson, I've said it a million times. He was silently committed to Maryland. So I wrote, you know, I went with it. He's crystal balls in, all that full confidence. And then things started to go sideways. Kentucky, all of a sudden, of course, with Maryland's luck. The minute they get him locked up, Kentucky misses on whoever it was at the time. Calipari goes all in, and he commits to Kentucky. So probably that one. Have there any who's committed? I'm trying to, in football, there's been so many kids who've committed out of the blue, partly because it's football recruiting is wild as hell, and partly because there's so many more recruits.
Or Darian Richardson.
Oh, well, Diamond Stone. I mean, I
was going to say Diamond Stone. Like, I never thought in a million years we were going to pull that off.
I thought they were probably going to get him, but it came out of the blue. I felt like they had a really good chance on that one. But in terms of the timing, that one was a shock. It just came out of nowhere. Told the story a million times. I'm like packing to go to Disney World in 6 hours. And Paul texts me. I'm at the grocery store, like getting ready for this trip. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I don't know. I'll think about it while you ask your third question, if anybody else comes to mind.
Well, and then the third question, I guess you could say it's a softball for all three of you. Who wins the national championship first, Maryland football or Maryland basketball? Because we got the 12-team playoff coming next year, so.
It's got to be basketball, right? I mean,
we're never winning a football national championship.
It's got to be basketball.
We're just not. It's not who we are. It's just impossible.
Here's the bet, Paul.
All right.
If Mustaf commits to Maryland tomorrow,
he won't.
You got to come on my podcast, Turtle Heads Podcast. You got to.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's fine. No, I will absolutely do that. I want to be wrong. I would love to be wrong. I will go on everybody. If you got a podcast that discusses like fucking plastic knobs, I will go on your podcast if Jaden Mustaf commits to Maryland tomorrow.
He's got the second best Terps podcast, so it'll work.
I'm fine with that.
What's your podcast? Plug it again real quick.
Turtleheads Podcast. The big part is I know you all claim to be the number one, which you got to be because you've been around the longest and you definitely cover all Maryland. But for the Terp fan that needs more Maryland in their life, give us a follow on Spotify and Apple. Instagram, Twitter, Turtleheads Podcast, man. We talk all Terps, Ravens, Orioles, and maybe a little bit of Redskins, too, if you want to be bored.
Nobody cares about the Ravens, dude. It's all about the Commanders. And they're the Commanders now, not the
obvious.
Nobody cares. The Ravens.
Larry's a Ravens fan. I forgot.
Yeah.
That's right, Larry.
No Purple Friday this week. It's Red Friday.
Clearly Red inferior.
It's Black Friday this week, yeah.
Well, they didn't look as good as people hoped in week one, but I still think they're a potential Super Bowl contender this year, the Ravens.
Well, Larry, what we say is week one is now preseason week four because John don't play nobody the first 3 weeks of preseason.
Yeah. And then they still got injuries. Come on.
Here's the question, though. Who snapped that preseason winning streak?
There that is. There it is. There's your Super Bowl.
Who cares? I'm glad it's over. In your face. I'm glad it's over because you shouldn't be playing preseason games to try and win them. You should be playing them to get ready for the regular
season.
It
was just annoying and stupid. I'm just happy it's over.
Me too.
Now we can all just never.
Me too. As a Ravens fan, I'm glad it's over with.
It's just honestly, done. Who cares?
Forget about like the home run record or Cal Ripken. That to me is the most amazing record in sports history. When you think about how little people try in preseason, how many games where there were just a bunch of, you know, furniture movers out there or
and they kept
this injury or that. Yeah, there's so many variables and so little effort. How that happens is, you know.
It is a real incredible, like, just roll of the dice, right? Like, you know, you just keep rolling and it keeps going up.
What was it, 24? Something like that? Across 8 years or something crazy?
Yeah, because when was their first year? 2000? So it'd be 23 or 24, right?
No, they started in 96.
Yeah, but I want to say 2015 was when the streak started, right?
Yeah, something like that. It was like 8 years.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, okay. Crazy.
Like, how was there not a game in there where the other team still had in second string or a few good draft.
I think that did happen. You know? We still won.
I know. It's crazy.
It's wild. But it's over. So y'all can kiss my ass. The end.
Thanks, dude.
It's such a – here, I'm going to sound like an old guy. It's such a weird flex, Paul and Jeff. Nobody cares. Like, why are you bragging about
because
that?
Because we have nothing to cling to.
Nobody cares.
Nothing to cling to other than that. That
they won.
Dan Snyder's gone. So, like, good. I'm done. I'm good for 5 years. 5 years now. Like, I don't care.
My son is a bigger Commanders fan than me by far. He knows every player on the roster, salary cap, all that. And I always tell him, like, when I was your age, I was celebrating Super Bowls. And he's celebrating, like, giving the Steelers their first loss 2 years. Like, remember that time we beat the Steelers when they were 11-0? Like, those are his. We got to clean up this stuff.
When we were his age, we would have celebrated our fourth Super Bowl and third Super Bowl title by then. So, like, it's different. It's different for the youngins these days.
They won week one, and they got a promising young rookie
quarterback. Doesn't matter. Hey, we just got to clean the whole thing out.
And it was ugly against a terrible opponent.
Yeah, we'll start. Right. Just get rid of Ron. We'll clean things out, and it'll be over. But nobody's on this podcast to listen to us talk about stupid rookies.
I took them in my Survivor League, the Commanders. And I'm very thankful for that because there's no other opportunities to use them the rest of the year. It
could have been ruined real easily.
But it wasn't. And now I'm set up. So that's good. All right.
Well, look, I appreciate y'all letting me hop on your podcast. Always listen. Good luck to everything. And give us a follow or give us a like on Turtleheads Podcast, man. And Paul, we'll find out about that bet tomorrow.
Dude, like I said, if it happens, I will be happy and I will come on your pod every week. It's fine. Like, it's all good.
Hey, where do you tailgate when you go to the games?
We don't tailgate, Larry. We show up to the games, we rock and roll. You know why I don't tailgate? Because I'm usually running late and I'm walking there as fast as I can to get to the games.
All right. Well, at least you're there.
Don't run late on Friday, people, because you're not getting in.
We're coming from Ocean City, Salisbury, Maryland. We're coming a long ways to get there. That's why I don't understand, like right around the block, why don't you get the games? We're traveling 3 hours to get there.
That's baller. Crazy.
That's impressive.
Well done, my friend. Kudos to you for that one.
All right, Jordan. Let's see if we meet up again next week very soon here. Just think works out tomorrow.
All right, good Jordan. Talk. Thank you for joining us.
See you.
Thanks, boss.
See you.
Hey, Jordan.
So we
yeah. So hey, let me just while we're on that subject, real quick. If you're planning on going this game on Friday, let me give a little pro take. Do not try and show up after like 4 o'clock because you will not get there. Like you just won't. It's a Friday in the DMV. The game's at 7. So like, unless you feel like sitting on lot one or the Beltway or every road in between, get your ass there early. Lots open at 2 p.m. Go tailgate.
How much do you think does that hurt turnout on these Friday night lights games? People just not wanting to deal with it, you think?
It's got to hurt.
I think it's going to hurt. I think it's definitely going to hurt. I don't think it'll be so bad because the weather looks good. And certainly people will have had notice that this is happening. So I just worry kind of like those 7 o'clock basketball starts that you get sometimes. Where like everything's it's 5 o'clock. I gotta head down to College Park. It's like, bro, you're not getting into that stadium at 7 if you're leaving.
They'll just have to sit through really crazy traffic.
Yeah so get there early.
Tailgate scene will probably be semi mild, right? Because not many people are gonna be able to take off work for this. So
I'm getting. I've got to get around the Beltway. I'm going to leave early because I exactly what Paul just said. But it will eliminate a lot of people who just can't or don't want to get around the Beltway on a Friday. Like it's.
Yeah. I think you're going to have a silly student crowd, though.
Yeah, that should be fun. You're going
to have an absolute jam-packed student crowd.
And the other thing, UVA, so there's all the regional relationships. My brother-in-law is a UVA alum, and I'm in Maryland. Let's go to the game. That's been lacking for so long now. The Big Ten move. This is the first time you've had that, except for like Towson or whatever. But on this level,
I think there will definitely be some ACC nostalgia in that. There certainly was. We actually at the bowl game when we played NC State. I was surprised.
Yeah, that was cool.
A lot of people were kind of really into that. But yeah, man, the students will be lit. I'll give them credit, man. They stayed all through Charlotte dealing with that crap. And, you know, we give them a lot of stuff. But that was good. They helped make that crowd good when Merrill needed them to. So we'll need them again Friday, I imagine.
We're going to skip projections this week because none of you guys wanted to change your projections yet. So you guys are still at 7.2 wins apiece. Hoagie upped his by almost half a game. Mine lowered. I lowered a bunch. We won't get too much into it, okay. But I went from 6.82 to 6.69. I lowered about 4 or 5 games by about 5% each because I'm worried about the offensive line. And some of the opponents look better, like Rutgers, for example. Northwestern looks a little less of a gimme and things like that. So just anyway, that's enough for the projections.
Michigan State is a dumpster fire now. That's
maybe.
Yeah, we might have some interim coach magic there.
Yeah, I don't know yet.
I don't know about adding a variable to a team that was clearly kind of crap to begin with. You know what I mean?
But yeah,
I don't know. You don't know. You never know with a team like that. They're either going to totally
enormous distraction. It's not a guarantee that it'll be awful, but it usually has an effect. I mean,
well, it'd be great if they were.
They could absolutely implode, or you know, you could see them go on a 2 or 3 game run where they rally around the flag, and we're kind of in the middle of that 2 or 3 games. That's my only concern. But yes, I think most likely they will implode.
Last thing I'll say: the analytics sites went from an average of 7.01. to 6.96. So basically flat. Okay, Jeff, let's do some basketball recruiting. There's a big announcement tomorrow, and it's not looking good for Maryland. What's your percent chance for Jaden and all that?
I don't love their chances.
Well, give me a number. 5%?
Unless there's a big surprise or smoke screen or what have you, which I don't believe is the case, I've got him going to Georgia Tech.
Yeah. So what's left? The 2024 class, one by one, seems to be dwindling. There's two possibilities, Derek Queen and Matthew Hodge. Is that it? I guess Boogie Fland is an outside as well, but what's your prediction then there?
Well, and there's a Fosa.
Because he could reclass, right?
Yeah, he's 25, could move to class 24. I still think they'll get two. Maybe call me a homer or whatever, but I feel like they'll get at least two out of those three that you mentioned. It's not a lot they'll get to. I'm not saying I'm bubbling with confidence that they'll get two, but if you asked me a few weeks ago, over under 1.5. I said over. I'll stick with that. Obviously, you know, you'd much prefer to have at least one of these be one of those guys where we know he's going to Maryland, just a matter of time, crystal ball with a confidence score of 9 kind of deal. And that doesn't exist, but, you know, I think that they'll still get 2 or at least one. Obviously, if you don't get at least one of them, it's a disaster. If you get one and that one is Derek Queen, okay. Fland, you know, I'm not including him in there because I feel like he's a pretty big long shot, although he's visiting. So, you know, he's still, you know, he's a possibility. But yeah, I mean, with, you know, Kenai Ruth's obviously canceled his visit. He still has Maryland on his list, but, you know, it's not happening. And now Bustoff doesn't look like it's happening. It's the numbers are thinning quickly from what was already a pretty thin list.
I can't believe we don't have backups here. I mean, I'm sure somebody somewhere in the back of their heads, they've got a small list of guys
who got
turned on to by this guy or that guy. But we're talking the, you know, Equan Smart like level types here. Maybe you get lucky and once in a million years pull a diamond out of the rough like that. But like, you're slumming if you don't get at least one. I mean, at least one of the non-Hodge
backup
guys,
is going to be transfer portal, right? That's what they're left with.
But yeah, that's a big but that's not what you want to be left with.
No, I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying that's the backup plan.
And I guess it's nice that we have the portal as a you know emergency, you know, break glass if broken kind of, you know, an emergency kind of thing. But it's not great. Like, it's not how you want to build a program.
I mean, I think the portal is already part of the plan, especially at guard. You know, they don't really have, outside of Mustaf and Flan, who, like I said, is a long shot, they don't have a lot of guard, any guard guy, you know, that they're known to be really high on or have scheduled visits. So that already was part of the plan, but you're not going to take a whole class from the portal. So, you know, you got to get at least one of these guys and then see what happens in the spring. You know, I think he's, I mean, like I've kept saying, he's put his cards on the table with these guys. It's not like Willard is, we know something he doesn't know. You know, he knows the situation. He knows that these guys are highly recruited and that he doesn't, you know, that there'll be some backups. Obviously, I think with him and his staff, you're going to probably see a higher level backup option than Turgeon had late in the game, at least late in his time at Maryland, where it was like the Aquan Smart and those kind of guys. So I don't think you'll be beating out Middle Tennessee State for guys and stuff like that. But yeah, got to seal the deal with someone.
Here's what's going to happen. Derek Queen's going to commit. And Julian Reese is going to come back for his senior year. So you have Queen at center and Reese will get to play the four. And then you'll have DHS and you'll have Kaiser. And that's going to be one of the best foursomes in the country. That's what's going to happen.
That would be a top five team. I don't know. I'm not.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That would be
cool story.
That's what's going to happen.
On Julian Reese coming back next year.
Well, they're going to have to put a lot of money on it to get him to come back, right?
That's very true. Yeah,
that's the point. All right, so.
I'm so scared.
What about Colby Giacobino, the basketball beat writer for Inside Maryland Sports, put out a great article. Is that behind the paywall or not? It is?
Yes.
So we won't give details, but we'll just say an awesome, awesome article by Colby detailed the entire recruiting outlook for class of 24, 25, and 26, listed out about, 15-ish guys maybe, Maryland's chances with each one, how they play into the picture of everything. Great article. Is there anything you can say about that without, like, you know, because it was awesome.
No, I mean, it's, there's, you know, it's more of a thorough look at, like you said, all the guys on the board and their chances, but there's no, it's not about somebody who's going to commit tomorrow or anything like that. But yeah, it's really good. Colby does great work for us. And the thing, one of the takeaways from that is there's a lot of talent in the 25 class locally, but then 2026 for people who follow this closely to look that far ahead has four top 25 players all in the WCAC, which is amazing. Four guys, top 25 in the country, all in the same conference. That's why, obviously, everybody says the WCAC is the best conference for high school basketball in the country. So there'll be plenty of big-time prospects in that class, too. But obviously, first things first with these next two classes.
Yeah, and I would also add, like, as scared to death as I am of this particular class, like, when you look at the situation for where they put themselves in terms of the 2025 class and early on in 26 class, it looks like they're kind of in a good position with guys that are also the types that they should be able to pull in. Local kids who are in that kind of like 25 to 50 to 60 range nationally, not super studs that are going to, you know, look for a payday right away or, you know, definitely get recruited by all the big baller programs. Like, if they can pull this class off, if they can pull a Queen and a Hodge or, you know, two of those guys, maybe one if the one is Queen, they are really well set up with the high schools for the classes coming up after this. So, like, it'll be easy to feel a little bit better about things if they can finish this class the way that they're intending to.
I feel the overall outlook is good, don't you? I mean, this year's rough, but overall I still have positive vibes and good feelings about the whole trajectory.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Underwood. Yeah,
really the biggest question about next year, I mean, Queen is a huge variable, but otherwise it's what you said earlier about Reese and DHS. There's no telling. I mean, Reese is to me probably a little less, not quite a coin flip to come back, less, you know, in terms of him being more likely. And then Deshaun Harris-Smith, from everything I'm hearing, he's good enough to be a possible one and done. I don't think I would bet on that happening, but it's, you know, in the realm of reality. So that's a big swing. Do you get both those guys back after this season? Do you get one of the two? Do you get neither one? So that's what's going to determine their fate for the year after this season.
Yeah, it's almost impossible now to really look at a roster beyond next season. I mean, you're never going to know how many guys are still going to be here and, you know, what roles are going to be playing, all that stuff, right? So it's such a – I mean, I can't even imagine trying to coach and then build and maintain a roster under these conditions. Like, it's a big, crazy job, and we're just not going to know. I think I know Kevin Willard can coach basketball. I'm not worried about that. It's going to be managing this roster and making sure that we've always got enough talent to compete. That's really going to be what the job of a high-level, you know, high-major basketball coach is these days. It's just program management is as important or more than actually coaching on the court. So it's really kind of new territory for everybody. And, you know, that's what I'm looking for. If you're asking for a longer term outlook, it's really hard to just look at a roster and be like, oh, we'll be great next year. Just wait. Who knows, man? We have no idea.
DHS is good enough to be a one and done and plays that way this year, Maryland's going to have a very good year.
I would agree with that. Yeah. We can talk about the next year after that, after March or April, who knows?
Well, that's every team, because Kentucky loses five guys every year and Duke and Kansas. And like a lot of teams are just completely remaking it every year. So
they've also made that their pitch, right? Yeah. Like that's the Calipari standard that he set, you know, what, 10 years ago when he got to Kentucky. He was like, I'm just going to recruit a bunch of freshmen. They're all going to be elite, and I'm going to tell them I'm going to send them off, you know, with a bow to the NBA 1 year later and do it again.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
If DHS does it,
do that, you know.
If DHS does it, it's a start.
At number 25, I think he was nationally, is one of the highest rated recruits Maryland's had in recent years. In Kentucky, he'd be the fourth rated guy in the class.
Yeah.
So they're bringing in a different level guy every year.
And 10th at Duke, right?
It's a bigger blow for Maryland to lose a guy like that.
Yeah.
It's a little different.
All right. Well, we got a couple months until that really, really kicks in. So still football season, some good, exciting things hopefully coming up for the football team. Before we move on, we have to give love to the non-revs and our boy Wheels.
Hey, everyone. This is Wheels with your InsideMarylandSports.com non-revenue report. Men's soccer is off to a little bit of a slow start. They dropped a 2-1 game to number 15 UVA last week and had to have their annual clash against Georgetown postponed due to weather. They haven't taken the field in a week. They'll go back out, opening their Big Ten play against Michigan this week. Women's soccer actually finds itself on a 3-game winning streak after wins against Towson, George Mason, and Binghamton. They had the number
Murderers
6
row there
on Friday for their Big Ten opener. Number 5 field hockey is riding a 4-game winning streak, which included a win over number 17 Boston College last week. They take on a historic rival in Princeton in College Park on Thursday. And finally, women's golf, and tennis all open their fall seasons this weekend. And that's it for your non-revenue wrap. This is Wheels. Take care, everyone.
All right.
You know how Wheels is the best? Because he knows that Maryland and Princeton field hockey are historical rivals.
That's yes.
Well, Princeton's our historical rival in so many sports. It's hard not to.
Well, that's why we get our non-refs report from Wheels, because he's the man. He knows his stuff. All right. We're going to finish the show with true or false. We'll read a statement. You have to say true or false and expound upon it. Jeff, we will start with you. Maryland will have its first truly impressive game on Friday, and they'll cover the 14.5-point spread against UVA.
True. I feel like it's a classic case of a team that, while these flaws are real, kind of plays down the first couple of games and then wakes up and says, this is not a very good team, but this is an ACC team we're playing, time to turn it on. I think they win easily.
Okay, I agree with that. Paul, there will be more than 45,000 people at the game on Friday.
False. Come on, man.
UVA's bringing whatever they're bringing.
Oh, yeah, because they're really into their football team right now.
Yeah, that's true. Every UVA fan I know that I normally talk trash with and all that kind of stuff, nothing.
They're not even paying attention.
And I'm like, are you going to the game? They're like, no. I'm like, all right, well.
No, I mean, like, again,
how'd they get so bad?
Well, I mean,
they're dealing with some rough circumstances.
They had the Mendenhall thing, and then the tragedy from last year of those kids getting shot. Like they've been through some shit. So like,
they lost some transfers, and
I don't want to make too much light of it. But like, it's very easily. I mean, we've seen how quickly a team at our level, and I would argue Virginia's basically over the past 15 years or so at our level, like you can fall off real quick, man. Even in the ACC, it doesn't take much. And the fans are like, nope, done.
Yes. Jeff, Maryland basketball will not get any top 50 players in the 2024 recruiting class.
I mean,
you already kind of answered it.
But. I answered it. That's basically at this point, Derek Queen's the only one left in the top 50, unless Oliogu reclassify, so it's basically
and that's why the question was asked.
Yeah that's classic Larry torture. I'll say yes.
Well,
they will. 49 grasshoppers.
That's not the way I asked it, but that's fine. Okay. I asked it the other way, but that's okay. Paul, Paul, the basketball team will be a top 15 team this season.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I think they're going to be pretty good. I will never quite get over Ian Martinez not being like a perfect, like, energy guard off the bench for like a natty contending team. But I still think they'd be pretty good. I think they'll hit top 15 at some point, probably early on. They'll just win like, 7 or 8 in a row and that'll do it.
And lose to UCLA by 30.
Well, preferably not, but going to Westwood will be a little bit of a challenge, I imagine, for anybody.
Jeff, Maryland basketball will win another national championship within your lifetime.
Yeah, I'll say true. I mean, I plan on living at least 200 years. I'm not planning on dying like everybody else. So
that's a long time.
I'll say true. I think. I don't know, man. It's so hard. We don't even know where the sport is going with the conferences and all. In 20 years, I might have to be looking for something else to do, or, we don't know. But anyways, I'll say true, man. Law of averages, things have to come around. They have all the resources. They've always had all the resources. Gary made it happen. You look at these teams that, are going to the Final Four that have nowhere near as the resources that they have. I think Willard's a really good coach. Has to happen eventually, if for nothing else than for my website, to bring in more subscribers. So I'll say yes.
Paul, last one. Maryland football will make the playoff at least once in your lifetime. Yes, that's a repeat. I want to hear you.
I mean, probably not.
Come on, man. That's what you said last time.
Just being honest, man. I mean,
I'm going to keep asking you until you say true.
You can ask all you want, man. I'm just telling you, look, I'm not happy about it either, but we are who we are, and I'd love for that to change, but like, history is, and you turn around and look at forget basketball, look at where football is going with the money and, you know, basically becoming a minor league for the NFL. That is not a development that is helpful to Maryland in any way, shape, or form.
It can be if there becomes a salary cap. If they allow the colleges to start paying players, but, and they pay,
here he goes.
But that doesn't help Maryland.
Yes, it does.
It just makes things as bad as they were before NIL.
No, it does.
Upward mobility is non-existent in college football. It's the same damn teams every single year. I love college football and regular season college football. As much as I love college basketball, I still have to admit regular season is better. But postseason and just general unpredictability and excitement of the postseason, NCAA tournament is so much better. College basketball, teams like schools like Maryland, who is the last team or the last program, I should say, of Maryland's stature that has made it and emerged?
TCU.
No, man. They've got
they've had a lot of success.
No, they were not even a Power Five school 10 years ago.
No,
8 years ago.
No,
they were not Power Five. No, that is true.
When they had LaDainian Tomlinson back,
they were not a Power Five school.
Yeah, I don't think they were. I think they were Conference USA
10 years ago.
For a while.
Yes. Yeah, they were not. It's been longer than that. They were.
I'm going to look that up.
Before they were in the Big 12.
Baylor has historically been awful, had a run.
And then Baylor found like a couple billionaires and built a new stadium and decided to. Kill some kids and like God knows what else with their revenue sports programs.
Kansas State, that was a coach thing, but now they're still good after Bill Snyder.
No, I will say this: if you're just looking at probability that I live another 40 years or so, is probably a decent shot that Maryland might sneak into a 16 team playoff at some point somehow.
There you go.
But
yes. Yes, that's a true. That's a true. We got there. We got there.
All right. The answer is still false.
TCU was in the Big East before the Big 12.
What?
Before the Mountain West.
Right.
Before that.
Yes.
Conference USA before that.
Yeah.
2000. You said they went Division I 10 years ago.
No. Power Five.
He was right about that.
Yeah. Okay. I was confused why. I thought you were like losing your mind. Oh, I got you. I mean, that's. Yeah, there's something.
Of course, now it's going to be Power Three.
How about Cincinnati?
Right?
Cincinnati has historically.
Again, all of those things sound great because those guys were in conferences that they could win. We had run off 12-0 seasons because they were beating up on crappy teams.
Well, TCU
in the ACC, it would be a different discussion if they were in the ACC.
I agree with that.
TCU beat Texas and Oklahoma, who were historic blue blood programs,
but were crap those years, if I recall.
Okay, but the same thing could happen.
And then ran off 10 in a row against, you know, Rice, and you know, I mean, I'm just saying, it's really hard to objectively look at like the last 15 years of Maryland football and be like, oh yeah, it's happening. You know,
didn't Isn't say it? That.
Or I mean, hell, let's go back through the Ralph years. I mean, I guess. I would guess, I don't remember this, but I would guess that the ACC championship team was what, were they 11-1 going in, or 10-1?
10-1. There were 11 games back then. They were 10-1 going into the Florida
game. I don't know what rank they were, but I'm not sure they were top 10 going into
the bowl
game.
I think they were right around that.
Yeah, I think they were right around there. So that alone might have been a borderline playoff team. But I mean, I can't think of a team in the past. I can't think of a team in my lifetime that would have made a playoff.
That one would have. Won the ACC. Yeah, they would have won. They would have gotten in from winning the ACC.
Well, I guess, yes. If you're going by the rules, that's one team.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
So one team since.
And even a 10-1 team back then, I believe they were right around top 10 in a 12 team, or if it goes to 16, that's a playoff team.
Right.
Now you're going to have to beat Oregon and USC also.
And Washington's looking good.
Yeah. I mean, again, we're going to look back at those Ralph teams as like the good old, you know, the good old easy days. I mean,
Michigan State was brought up in the chat. Another one is Virginia Tech, who was historically awful. Got a coach who for 5 years was still awful before he got it rolling, and then had a 15-year stretch of absolute greatness, including making a national championship. And they've been crap since. They had one good year after he left and have been crap since. But you asked for examples of turnarounds. I've just reeled off.
No, it absolutely can happen.
Yes.
If you're asking me for probabilities, it's pretty freaking unlikely to happen.
Yeah.
Beamer.
That's all.
You mentioned Beamer, Larry. Was that, I don't remember if that was on the show or if someone else I was talking to. He went to a bowl game like 32 years in a row or something like that. Something
he had a
bowel. How do you not have one rebuilding year where your quarterback gets injured or something else? You know,
I don't think it was 32.
At least in the high 20s.
It was like 20 something. It was like Bowden, but not quite Bowden level, but it was pretty crazy. And I mean, well, part of that's being the Big East. I mean, you know, if you're talking about, you know, if Maryland didn't leave the ACC, I wonder what we would be feeling about football right now.
I overshot that one. It was 22. 22 is still pretty good. And the Big East was actually pretty good back then. You know, you had those Donovan McNabb, Syracuse teams. West Virginia was good. Pitt had a lot of good teams. It wasn't a super conference.
Miami was good when they were in the Big East.
It was not like the current ACC.
No, that's fair. That's fair. But, I mean, it certainly wasn't the SEC or the Big Ten. No. So, I just, as I said, it's just if you're asking me true and false, man, you're talking about, you know, you got to do better than 50%. And I can't do it. I'd love to. I want to be wrong so bad.
He's just going
to
keep asking you like he asked Wes about cheering.
That's fine. That's fine. You can ask me every week and my soul will want to say yes, man. But unfortunately, my brain is still functional and just it is what it is, man.
I
never wanted to be more wrong.
I believe. I think they're going to have.
That's at least why you're one. Here, brother.
I think they're going to have at least one. At least one. It's going. Everything is going to coalesce in the exact right way for a season.
And if it happens, I will go to every damn playoff game or whatever. I will never treat it like I treated the national championship. I was a senior at school, so I wasn't really flowing with money. But like I figured, you know, we could go down there and scrape it, but we'll do this again, right?
Yeah.
We'll do this again. Final four, at least, right?
Utah is another good example. By the way, Utah and Colorado have been on their bandwagon for the Big Ten for years now. Utah and Colorado would be great additions to the Big Ten, bring in a new region of the country, new markets, good programs.
Yeah, Utah's got to be the most underrated coach in college sports.
So good. They're so good. They're very good. They won the Pac-12 2 years in a row.
Nobody pays any attention because it's Utah, but the guy just
the potential wins. There. They have the potential to be one of these perennial playoff contenders every single year because they don't have pro football in the state, and it's one of the fastest growing states. It's bigger than Nebraska, for example, and like a lot of those middle America states that have big historic programs. They could do that easily. I could see Utah doing that. Anyway.
InsideUtahSports.com. Check it out there.
Nebraska's still not back, by the way.
No, Nebraska is assuredly not back. Well,
I'm so surprised. I thought, well, who saw what Colorado's doing? Who could have predicted that?
I thought they'd come back down to earth and Nebraska would beat them.
I could have seen Colorado winning, but absolute drubbing, and then also Nebraska lost in the first week to Minnesota in a hard-fought game. That one's, you know, you can see that. But dude, then
Jeff Sims might be the worst quarterback I've ever seen in my life.
Awful. I remember when he was at Georgia
Tech. Good Lord!
I remember tweeting that he was just way overrated, and all these people got on to me about it, about how good he was, upside. And so it doesn't matter how good of an athlete you are if you don't have that intrinsic quarterback gene. And he doesn't have it. Like he's a great athlete, but and Matt Rhule, you know, he's won everywhere he goes. You can't really
but
judge him.
It always takes him 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's hope he doesn't figure that out this season. That's for sure.
Yeah. Let's hope they're already mathematically eliminated from a bowl by the time they get to Maryland. So.
Yeah. Then there might only be 97,000 people there instead of 98,000.
Yeah. Exactly.
if they've only won one game.
Did you see what they did for the volleyball game? 92,000 yeah. people for a volleyball game. It's crazy.
Crazy. So like, crazy. Was that in collaboration with some other event? Like, was there a mutual
promotion,
or did they?
Really I don't think so.
I think they had a post game concert of some kind, but it wasn't like freaking Taylor Swift. So, you know, it was obviously not just for the volleyball game, but the volleyball game was like the thing.
I think they billed it as let's break the record for most attended female yeah. sporting event ever, and they did it.
Yeah,
because I would have been shocked if you told me 32,000. I would have been like, "What? 32,000 people? 92 is just incomprehensible."
You ever been to Lincoln, Nebraska?
It doesn't matter. 92,000 people rolling into a college campus for a volleyball game is just a, you know.
Big Red is their religion, man. It's all they got. Is. And you know, it's just people less welcome. Don't people come to Maryland?
On a side note,
they had
60,000 like a couple of years ago. They had a recruiting, like a Friday Night Lights recruiting event with just some recruits running around on the field or whatever. And they had 60,000 for that. How many would be at CQC?
5,000.
500?
Recruiting thing? Yeah, probably close
to 500.
Oh, 500.
460 of those students and the other 39 being player parents and then Hoagie, I guess. I don't know. Like, it's just different, man. It's different. And you just need to embrace the fact that we will never be like that. It's just not going to happen. We could have the best athletic department and the best results and the best people and all that stuff. It is never, ever going to happen here. Like, you're just always going to be swimming against the tide. It just like I'm sorry, I'm embracing the horror. If you guys want to get disappointed every year, that's up to you. I'm just saying.
I will continue to swim against the tide then, Paul. How about that? I will continue swimming.
I'm just in my life raft heading this way.
Two things. I was thinking about when we were talking about the volleyball thing. This is a big tangent, but women's sports, like team sports, have never latched on in this country at a professional level. You got the WNBA, you got the NWSL for soccer. None of them get any traction. I think a professional women's volleyball league would have a chance to create a niche and actually grow.
Would it?
I do. I think it could.
I think it's one of those sports that's like pretty impressive. Like if you just like as a TV product, like I know like volleyball, like the men's and the women's, like it's one of the few, like if Olympic, you know, when the Olympics go on, like it's one of the few things I'll actually tune into just because it's action packed and it's interesting and it's, you know, requires a lot of skill.
It doesn't even look real.
Right.
Whereas some people will say, women's basketball, for example, doesn't quite come across that way in comparison.
Because they're comparing to men.
Right,
There's no men's league. Well, maybe if there is a men's league, nobody knows about it, but they could. I think that could be a thing. Somebody should get on that.
And I will say, like, you're right historically, but women's sports is starting really to put up some big numbers on, you know, TV and attendance in ways that they haven't in a while.
The women's national team for soccer, yes, and then you have individual sports like tennis and golf have had traction, but they've been doing it for 150 years.
But like even the two you mentioned, the WNBA and NWSL, have really been kind of taking off from their base. It's still well below the men's sports, but it's
really
it's sustainable in a way that I don't think it was.
The WNBA would have folded a long time ago if they weren't propped up by the NBA. That's my understanding. Like I don't.
Well, I mean, it's just
improving, is all I'm saying.
Like, it comes down to one thing. Yeah. In volleyball, the women can make the same athletic plays, the spike, diving, digs. They can do all the things. Basketball, the dunk, like that's.
They got to lower the rim.
The dunk is, I mean, people love basketball in general, but it's like baseball, chicks dig the long ball, right? The home run. Women don't dunk. Well, a few of them do, but anyways, that's.
That's why women's softball is kind of wild too, man. Like you catch one of those just on ESPN because you left going from the night before or something, and like trying to hit like a, you know, 80-mile-per-hour underhand pitch from 45 feet away.
That's crazy. That is wild. Crazy. The way they pitch, they've got to have shoulder issues with the way they torque and how fast they do that spinning motion. They've got to develop shoulder
issues. It's still a more natural motion than throwing overhand, actually.
Well, but how many pitchers develop lots of
less than you think because I don't think they have rest requirements either because it's not putting as much.
What were the odds heading into this show? Kind of like the odds of that Ravens preseason.
Hey,
what were the odds? We'd be talking about the injury risk to women's softball.
Yeah, we pull Wes out of the crowd, and
For years been a proponent and a supporter of women's sports. You guys know this. We've had Brenda on the show and Bette Shelby, who was an assistant coach before that. Oh, yeah. And I have been promoting for years. I have been doing that. Paul has always been the hater. He's always the hater.
Let's get Brenda again sometime.
That's not true.
Yeah, we should get Brenda again. One more thing before we go that I thought of. How am I going to phrase this? How awesome would it be or how good would it be if Maryland football had Dion?
Well, I mean, that's kind of like what a lot of people thought Locks would be right off the top, right?
There's only one Dion. He doesn't.
Obviously, it would be a supercharged kind of thing.
Yes. Star power is unmatched.
And if you're bringing your stud son quarterback with you and a bunch of other dudes, that's kind of a whole other level of thing. But
imagine the recruits you get from the DMV.
That's what I'm saying.
Everywhere.
Here's the thing.
You do that anyway. That's not Maryland.
He would Lane Kiffin it and be here for like, eight games before he went to something.
Exactly what I was going to say. That's the only negative.
Florida State.
Yeah.
I think he's going to do the same thing at Colorado. What Shadur has one more year, right? So I think they're going to get 2 years out of him. And Travis Hunter, I think, has 2 years too. One more year after this.
Yeah.
They're both first round NFL picks as soon as they leave, probably. And then I think he's probably gone, right? The question is, can they sustain anything? They won't sustain exact same thing. Can they sustain a higher level after he leaves? Or are they dropping back to 2-3
wins
again?
They're done.
It's cocaine.
It's football cocaine, man. It's gonna be really great for a short amount of time.
Jackson 5 sustain Michael leaving? He's the whole show. He's the whole show.
They did try.
Did they?
Well, of course they're going to try. I bet Colorado will continue to play football, but I'm not counting on them being any good.
And they had some moderate success. People went to see them because they were the Jacksons.
By the way, I do love Jackson State going for Rich Rodriguez. That was pretty awesome. I like seeing Rich Rod still in the game, kicking around.
Right. So would you take the Dion experiment for 2 years? You would, right? Because you'd have 2 years of amazingness and then –
I mean, I would have after DJ Durkin got canned. I wouldn't now.
No?
I don't think I would. That's probably dumb, but I don't.
You take the slow, long, steady build of Locks.
I mean, if I had to fire Locksley to do it, I wouldn't do it.
That's what I was going to say. In this hypothetical, what has happened to Locksley?
He's
taking a hiatus to
get to know
himself better in the woods of
– Say Dion leaves Colorado in 2 years, like I just said. Locksley this year, they go 4-8 this year, and then they go 1-11 next year. And Locksley and Maryland agree to mutually part ways at a buyout. And so they need a new coach. And Kevin Plank says, enough of this. I am finally going to prop up the program. I'm going to pay $15 million
a
year.
Get the Nikeiest guy in human history.
Yes, I'm going to pay $15 million a year to get any coach. That's the scenario.
Well, I mean, obviously, you would take him there. But I would also ask, what the hell has he done to go to Maryland 2 years from now? Like, things have not worked out at Colorado the way he wanted.
He's leaving Colorado in 2 years because his son and Travis Hunter are going to be leaving.
Yeah, but he ain't leaving Colorado to come to Maryland, bro.
No, that's why I said $15 million.
After Maryland went 1-11.
That's why I said that's
$15 million.
No, that's what Colorado did, and he went there.
But he's not doing it again, man.
Well, for $15 million, that's why I said $15 million.
How much is he making there?
Deion finds $15 million in his couch cushions, dude.
No. Come on. He's coaching for money. Wants to get paid as much as he can. Come on.
Dude, he's 15 million. He's going to laugh. You want me to take 111 Maryland at 15 million? Get the hell out of here.
He is going to – I think he is going to be there for 2 years and then go to some –
It'll be interesting to see where he goes because Florida State had they've got it rolling, so they're not going to have a vacancy. He can't go back to the alma mater.
You want to hear my – University of Florida,
you can't
do that. What do you think?
I think it's – I was going to say it's either going to be Florida or LSU. I don't know that Kelly's
LSU work down makes
there.
A lot of sense.
I don't know that Kelly's going to work down there. It just doesn't feel right, and they've struggled a little bit here and there. So that wouldn't surprise me. But Florida, I wonder if they're thinking like, do they want to even bother keeping Napier around for one more year just in case, rather than hiring a new coach after this season and then being out of the Deion sweepstakes. That would be. If you talk about search firms and like back, agent contact and all that stuff. If I'm Florida, man, I'm working whatever I can do to get in Deion's head about what he wants to do and when he wants to do it, because that's affecting my whole program.
Does a Florida State guy go to Florida? Is the question there?
Right, and then the whole thing.
That would be absolutely insane. Someone in the chat said Alabama.
And Saban retires.
You could envision that.
Oh my God! Can you imagine the recruiting classes?
Just
Deion Sanders at Alabama.
Yeah. Oh my God!
25 stars.
Just stop playing football at that point. There's just no point.
Someone said the Geico commercials were prophetic. Larry, what's he talking about?
He's in the commercials with Saban.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. That's right. Okay. All right.
I thought we were in danger of actually finishing a show under an hour, and clearly we were not.
Instead, we went for an hour and a half.
Then we went 7 hours.
Yeah. All right. Hey, we still got some people watching. Do us a favor. Please subscribe. If you're listening, do us a favor. Get to the website. Go to YouTube and subscribe for us. We're inching up there, And like we said, like Paul Polson, we said last week, we're going to be going every Wednesday at 7:30 now, so you guys know that. It's a regular time. Put it on your calendar. Give yourself an alert. Do whatever. Please join us live. We love having the interaction, as many people as possible. So just be ready for that every Wednesday at 7:30. That's going to be the time.
Ending after 9, most likely.
today we are. Normally we're like hour and 10-ish.
Right.
Anyway. All right, thank you guys for joining us. It was a lot of fun having Wes on the show. We got to have him back. I forget the other guy's name.
Jordan Monk. Yes.
We're going to try and do that a little more too. Have some fan of the week appearances where you guys get to ask us any questions you want. So if you guys are interested in doing that, send one of us a message on the board and maybe we'll get
you. We'll have to figure out some way to sift through all that.
All right.
But that's fun.
Thank you guys for joining us. This is IMS Radio.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS. Here's where we can see them.
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent island you got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii, Monday starting at 9/8 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls.
Rated PG-13.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.